Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Top five thoughts of Coach Cal and UK.
Oh, boy.
Number five, can Coach Cal check his ego a little bit? I think, like, that's the thing. Smokey, what was the thing we said the first time we were at the press conference with him when Baylor played Kentucky? Was not, man, this guy's brilliant. Man, it's unbelievable. Like, what an unbelievable ego.
Controlled
the room, kind of bully the people around, and it was because of this just massive ego. And I'm not saying that that's, like, big ego.
But when we were there, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
He was coming off a national,
but,
yeah.
You know, he's about to win
about
the national.
Win one, yeah.
But, like, there's a way you can channel your big ego. You can be Teddy Roosevelt and channel it well. And for a while, Coach Cal did. And I think that right now it's not serving him well because he has not gotten his team to a Final Four in 9 years. And a lot of the things he's doing or saying are maybe falling on deaf ears. Or it's just like, all right, you know, don't lose to St. Peter's. Don't lose to Oakland. And then we'll maybe buy your stick a little bit more. I think his act is a little bit tired and he needs to refresh it. And maybe that means he needs to, you know, sit down, be humble for a second.
Yeah, that's going to be – I think I like him. I really do. I like listening to him. But I wonder, man, when you're up that ladder that high, can you be humbled? I think everyone can be humble.
Man, it doesn't matter what your personality is. If you're win, as long as you're not, like, cursing people out left and right, you can be however you want to be, however cocky you want to be, however arrogant you want to be. And I think his ego is perfectly fine when they're winning. Mm-hmm. But when you're losing and you're not winning as much as you're supposed to, now it's an issue. So, yeah, that's probably something he's going to have to kind of realize or, I guess, massage a little bit, that's not coming across the same way it was when you were winning games and advancing deep in the tournament.
Well, and if you are an $8 million a year coach and you're out of the tournament early every single year, like, those things just don't work anymore. So, yeah. Again, I just think, like, I'm not one of these people who says fire Coach Cal, because, one, they're not going to do that. And, two, It just like you got to give a Hall of Famer a chance to like really look at the last few years and go, what's the common theme here? Which brings us to number four. What aren't they doing that other teams are that are paying their coach similar amounts or even a little bit less? What are they not doing that coaches who aren't getting paid $8 million are doing? What is Kentucky, this program that has everything at their fingertips, what are they not doing that others are? What are they doing that Bill Self is doing? Well, and look, he's not the best example this year, but he just won 2 years ago. What are they not doing that Baylor's doing? What are they not doing that Arizona's doing or Gonzaga or Villanova? You know, like, why? Or North Carolina, like, what are they different? Like, what's different between them and that? And I don't know the answer to that question. They know the answer to the question. I don't think they need to look at what they're doing right. I think they need to really look at what they're doing wrong. Because sometimes I think you can be like, well, this is right. If we just lean more into the right, you know, if we get, like, this is the correct thing. We're getting great talent out of the, you know, high school recruiting. We can get anybody we want out of the portal if we wanted them. We can do this.
But you can add all these young freshmen and all these phenoms and diaper dandies, as Dick Vitale used to call them, or whoever. You got to have some meat and experience.
We'll get to that in a second. Okay. But yes, but
well,
like,
that's what they're doing wrong, maybe.
That's one of the things. But like, there's probably other things that they're not doing as well. And I think sometimes because you are a guy who's everything's worked out because of the way you do it right so long, that sometimes you don't look at, where am I missing? Because the playbook that I have says this should work, and it's not. Number three, has the game started to pass him by?
No.
I mean, no. Look, he did something last night I never thought I would see him do. He thought they were shooting a 1-1 when they had
his
and
players
one.
Thought that, too, yeah, and he was kind of turned around at the time. But I saw that. The player, you know, made, like, a shot, was fouled, and he had a one for a chance for an and-one, and his players, they missed it, and he just scooted it out of bounds. And Calipari thought it was a 1-on-1, too. That was a big huge.
Like, those are things, like,
you cannot make that mistake.
Oh, look, it happens to the best of us, you know, but eventually, like, there are things, and that doesn't mean if it's passed him by, it's all the way passed him by. But if he doesn't see, you know, that he's not driving with the flow of traffic, then he's in trouble. I think that's really what I mean here.
Okay. All right. That's a possibility.
I think they've got every tool at their disposal. They've got every amount of support you could possibly want, every dollar that you would need. And I think he's still a great basketball coach, but I think that the game has changed a little bit. It's that you're not just the one getting all the diaper dandies and the blue chips, and you're big bad Kentucky, and only a select few have players like you have. I mean, nowadays it feels different because of the portal or because of extra years or whatever the case may be. And so it's not as simple as let's go grab the next Fab Five and roll them in here and go deep in the tournament. Like, there's a little bit more nuance to it that maybe I don't know, because it's not for a lack of anything, really. For it to happen year after year after year. There's no lack of support. There's no lack of NIL money. There's no lack of talent. So, I mean, I can see why this would be a question. I still think he knows the game of basketball, but maybe just on this level, it's not quite what it was when he was soaring at the highest of highs, and others have caught up a little bit.
By the way, remember now, Scott Drew had to learn how to change from trying to go and grab the one-and-dones, even though they've had those recently and have a couple of them maybe this year. Remember the Perry Jones and Isaiah Austin? And they were good, but it wasn't. And they kind of got away from that for a little bit and started building up more of a deeper bench and older roster, and eventually led to, of course, a national title.
Absolutely. Number two, can he actually build a veteran-laden roster? Can he do that? Can he have the split? Because I think that's what's the biggest thing that's missing is, sure, you can get all the, you know, the diaper dandies you want, trademark Dick Vitale. You can do that, but you do need some guys in there who can calm them down, who can be that. And you could see last night where, you know, you get to the huddle and they're like, all right, look, you probably look at yourself like, I've never done this before. And they're like, me neither. Like, what are we in here? And they get a little bit hyperventilated and they start, you know, making mistakes that they normally make. And, you know, the other thing is you've got a team in Oakland. That's the other thing. The weight of the world is on Kentucky in these situations. You know, they don't want to be the ones who are upset. For Oakland, what do they care? Like, I mean, everything starts working out for them. You know, it's going to be sad if they don't win, but no one is saying, like, hey, you're going to go in and beat Kentucky, you know, one of the all-time great blue blood programs. So they can just go out there and grip it and rip it and not worry about, you know, all that other stuff. So those things, you need veterans to be like, look, don't worry about it. We got you. We've been here before. We can do this. Because those, that first NCAA tournament, talked to a great many players. Yep. They're like, man, that first like 10 minutes is, it's everything you've ever wanted in your life. And then it's going so fast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and number one, would they really fire Coach Cal?
Oh, I'm telling you, man.
I think right now that would be a mistake. One,
I think you take a deep breath before you make a decision.
One, because 2 years, you can get out for half of this, and what's different, you know, you're still going to have great players.
Right.
And, you know, you'll be able to bring in whoever you want. Like, maybe just don't, like, throw money away on firing a coach who's won you a national title and hasn't been where you want him and has not been an $8 million coach for the last few years, but you know he can be again, just maybe tell him, like, hey, it's a different era. You know, let's push him a little bit.
I mean, I think everything is on the table in terms of change. They were one of the youngest teams in the country, and when you're typically putting in or you're recruiting and landing blue chips and then turning them around into pro prospects, one and dones, you know, at a pretty high clip, it's hard to your previous point, build a veteran roster, but you got to figure out a way to have more experience so there's not like that young that youth that catches up with you during tournament time when you're facing off with veteran squads. But with this, I know A&M's warped everybody's brains about these big buyouts, but I don't know Kentucky well enough either to say that they can't do this or that they would never do this, but I just don't understand why you would burn $30 million to get rid of this guy to go hire who.
Well, not only that, Craig, you're right. $33 million or whatever it is, and then you're going to have to go overpay for the guy coming in, and it's going to cost you a bunch of other bundles of money.
Yeah, you're looking at like a $40 million investment, and I know you're making really big money in the SEC TV deals and probably in ticket sales and all those types of things, but I don't know, man. I just don't feel like every team in that league or in the top 25 all-time of college basketball or in college sports or top five all-time college basketball, I don't think everybody's just keen on the idea of because, oh, he's had 4 years of disappointment, let's go set $30 million on fire and go then hire somebody for big money who, again, who's a bigger, more high-profile name than him. Like, who are you going and hire? Are you going to go Steve Kerr? I mean, is that like, because there's only so many names that would be bigger already than John Calipari, so... would they really? I'm sure somewhere in Lexington there's somebody that's like, I'll put up $2 million for this. But I don't know, man. You let it play out, like you said, Paul. Let it drop down and the buyout drop down. And then, at that point you'll have enough evidence to go, all right, it's been 5 years in a row or 6 years in a row. It's now only $15 million. Yeah, now we cut bait. We got all we've seen all we need to see. But I think that would be a major overreaction to go and sign a check like that. You could do a lot of other good with that. Like, go get players that are going to help you get over that hump next year in your
go get a
hopes.
Couple of seasoned guys in the portal if they want to. You got the ability to do that. By the way, this is the craziest ending. Yale had a 3-point lead in the ball but turned it over. Auburn is now down one. There's still 33 seconds to go. Yale's going to the free throw line up two, and Florida has come back. Knew they would.
They were down 10.
They were down 10, but they were down 8 just a minute ago. They've tied the game up with 6 seconds to go at 100 apiece in an up-and-down high-scoring game in that particular NCAA South first-round game.
This is the only part that I don't really enjoy is that 32 seconds will take like another hour to finish out. That's the only part that it just sort of drags out these end results, but... Big bucket by Colorado with 1.7 left.
Here's the inbounds pass, a long three for the win. Oh my God. Colorado has knocked out an SEC team in Florida, 102-100.
Go Buffs. Go Buffs.
Holy crap.
Listen, Florida. Every time Florida loses at something, an angel gets his wings. Go Buffs.
And now let's go ahead and let's do Yale's up three. We can't do play-by-play, really, because we can't.
Well, because they got a long time with 32 seconds. But Colorado, what a win for them.
What a win. I mean, so the kid had a jumper.
Wazoo and Oregon State are celebrating.
Yeah, I thought that three-point heave was going to go in, didn't you?
I mean, it got very, very close. It looked like it was on target. It just was a little bit too far to the right, it looks like. And so, yeah, that was uncomfortably close for Colorado there. But they get the dub. That's a big W for the Buffaloes. And we'll see them in the Big 12 starting next year. But for right now, they're making some money for Washington State and Oregon State and raising their profile a bit.
And Yale's going back to the free throw line. Auburn with some tips that didn't go in. Still a lot of time left.
My bracket is the hallway in the Shining.
I want to go live in Greg Sankey's mentions if this Auburn game finishes the way it looks like it will.
We'll let you go. Thank you so much for those who, even with the games going on, I know there's a lot going on. We appreciate you. We'll have a full throttle show on Monday capping off who's going to go to the Sweet 16 and much more.
So Colorado will now face Marquette in the next round, and then NC State and Oakland above them in the bracket. So that's now how that advances. But, yeah, what a win for the Buffs. And we'll see. This looks like a thrilling finish with Yale in command right now and just less than 15 seconds to go.
Got to hit free throws, and you probably win the game. But there's who knows? It might be 20 minutes from now. For Garrett Ross, great stuff, Garrett. Thanks to all of you in the chat room. The text line are great sponsors every single day that continues to grow, and it does. For Craig Smoke and Paul Catalina. For Jack McKenzie and Darby Brown in Memphis. For Emery working on 365 Sports tonight at 10:30 on the CW. And our great sponsors and our partners, Brian Colt and Ashley. I'm David Smoke. Good night.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.